We'll kind of hopefully set the stage for that discussion, okay? So the Gemara concluded this discussion of Avos and Toldos. If you remember, we discussed the Toldos of Shabbos, which were the same as the Avos, Yochayev Skila, Chayev Chatos, if you did it by accident. So fundamentally the same. We discussed perhaps why there's the semantical difference between Toldos and Avos. And then we discussed the paradigm or the example of Toldos in Tuma. That the two are very different, Avos and Toldos. Avos can be Metame Av and Adam and Kalim, people and utensils, whereas Toldos can only be Metame Ochlin Umashkin. So the Gemara picks up with that discussion and comes back to the topic at hand, which is Nezikin. So the Gemara says, Hachamai, four lines from the top. What's the story here with Toldos Nezikin? Are they the same as the Avos or not? Rashi has one explanation, and if they're not, so then what's the story? So Rashi says, well, then you'd be putter for Toldos. Wow. We'll see. Mir Shema Monday, the Riff has an entirely different explanation. But meaning, what's the difference? What's the other possibility? Either they're like the Avos and you have to pay, or they're not. What's the option if they're not? Rashi says, well, then you'd be putter. That sounds pretty extreme. We'll see, the Riff has a different explanation. But anyway, the Gemara asks, are the Toldos the same as the Avos or not? So Amar of Papa, Yeshmen Kayaitzebehen, Yeshmen Lav Kayaitzebehen. Some avos, the toldos, are exactly the same, and other avos, the toldos, are different. So as we're going to see, almost with regards to all of the avos, they're the same. And the Gemara is going to continue to search for about a blot over here. Where are they different? Where is which av of Nezikin are the toldos different than the av? Okay, but the Gemara is going to go through that process of exploring all of the avos, looking for that av where the tolda is going to be different than the Av. Because Rav Papa told us, Yeshmen kayoitzibahen veyeshmen lav kayoitzibahen. Sometimes the Toldos are the same, sometimes not. Let's try and figure out where it is the same, where it's not. So the Gemara opens up kind of a broader discussion. Tana Rabbanon. Gimel Avos, Namru Bashar, Hakaran Vashen Varegel. And we're going to investigate over here with regards to each one of these three, are the Toldos the same as the Avos or not. But there's three categories of Shar, which was the first of the Avos Nezikin. One is Karen. What's Karen Rabbi saying? Is goring. Shane is if it eats something. Regel is if it tramples it, you know, generally speaking. So Karen, we know, and how do you know you're chai for Karen? The Tana Rabbanan is a pasuk ki yigach. It says when it gores, ein nigicha elo b'keren. Goring is always with horns. Shenemar vayaslo tzidkiyo ben kinana karne barzo. Where is that pasuk found? In Sefer Melachim, in Nach. Already, you know, a source which is a little bit off the beaten path. We already jumped over Chamisha Chumshei Torah, Sefer Yeshua, Sefer Shoftim, Sefer Shmuel. We ended up in Sefer Melachim. Okay, we had to go that far to find the source. So Amar, Hashem Be'eilat Tinogach, the Pasuk says, Karnei Barza, V'yomer Komar, Hashem Be'eilat Tinogach Es Aram. This is how I will gore Aram. So you see, goring is with a Karen with horns. V'oimer, oh, and by the way, the pasuk in Parshat Zayisa Bracha Bechar Sharoi Hadar Loi, the Karnei Reim Karnav, a pasuk we probably heard numerous times a few days ago. So you see from there as well, goring Behem Amim Yinagach is with Bechar Sharoi Hadar Loi, the Karnei Reim Karnav is with horns. So the Gemara asks, 1 minute, if you have a pasuk in Parshat Zayisa Bracha, why'd you go all the way to Sefer Melachim initially? Va'omer, b'char sharo hadar lo, v'karnei re'im karno, behem yamim. My va'omer. Why do I need this? Meaning, why didn't you start with that? Why didn't you lead with that? You always lead with your best argument. V'chi tema. Maybe you'll tell me, divrei tarmin, divrei kabbalah lo yalfinan. Maybe you'll tell me that it's, meaning that the Gemara was asking, we have a problem with this source from Sefer Melachim, because it's divrei kabbalah, and we can't learn out divrei kabbalah. We can't learn out Divrei Torah from Divrei Kabbalah, Tashma, B'char Sharo, Hadar Lo. That's why we have the Pasuk in Chumash, meaning we start with the Pasuk in Melachim, because that's Divrei Kabbalah. And then you'll say, well, maybe we can't learn Divrei Torah from Divrei Kabbalah, so then we have the Pasuk in Chumash. We're not learning anything from anything. This is just the Giloy Milsa B'Alma, Giloy Milsa B'Alma. We're just trying to figure out what is Karen refer to. I'm sorry, what is Shor Negicha refer to when the Torah says Kiyigach? Does that mean with Karen or some other means? And we're seeing that it means with Karen. So once we have the pasuk in Sefer Melachim, why did we need the pasuk in Parshas Zayis Habracha? Ma'u d'teima? No, it's because of the following. We start with the pasuk in Melachim because it doesn't matter. We're not deriving halachas here that it matters. The difference between Sefer Melachim and Parshas Zayis Habracha, they're all the same. We're just trying to figure out, what does the word yigach mean? or negicha. How do you gore? You gore with a carrot. So the pasuk and sefer malachim sefer and parshas vayisa baruch are really interchangeable. You know, the authority of the source doesn't really matter here. So why did we bring a second source? Elamau de tema, I might have said, ki polag rachmana ben tam lemuad, when the Torah distinguished between an animal that has never gored and an animal that has gored three times. What's the difference between an animal that has gored once and an animal that has gored three times? Rabbi said, what's the difference? Tam pays how much? Chatzi nezek. Half. A muad, which we have to explain all that. Half of what? Okay. A muad, we have to explain, how do you get to? Okay. A muad, if he's gored more than once, how many times does it pay? Gored three times, how many times does it pay?
Nezek shalom.
I'm sorry, how much do you pay? Nezek shalom. Okay, so tam pays chatzi nezek. A muad pays nezek shalom. So I might have said, kiparach one of tam lemuad, hani mil betlusha. That's when it's holding a horn in its mouth, but it's detached from the animal. But if it would be attached to the animal, even if it's the first time that it's goring, how much would you have to pay? Nezek shalom. Meaning, when does it make sense to say there's a mizutina, a short time that has never gored before, and it's like surprising to the owner, and therefore, you know, like he only has to pay nezek, chatzi nezek. That's if it's holding a horn in its mouth. That's, unusual. So, okay, if it did such a thing, it picked up a sharp object from the ground and then gored with it, ooh, that's unusual. So, the first time, you only have to pay chatzi nezek. If it does it three times, already you have to pay nezek shalom. But if it would be the horns attached to the animal, maybe there, he has to pay nezek shalom the first time, because that's kind of like obvious that the animal might do that. You always have to pay nezek shalom. Tashma, b'char sharo, hadar loy. That's why we have the second pasuk to teach me, there's no difference between telusha and mechuberes, whether it's holding the horn or the sharp object in its mouth, or it's going with its horns that are attached to its head. There's a distinction between tam and muad, first time, chatzi nezek, subsequent, three times, nezek shalom. Okay, everybody, that's the Gemara. We hear the Gemara? Problems with the Gemara? No. We're all in agreement. Look over here at the Rajba, though. See the Rajba? Here. The Rajba asks, and this Gemara. Kuf Lamed. Kashali. Adaraba. Why do you say... Well, again, we didn't know. We have one pasuk, so we didn't know whether it was talking about Mukhuberis or Telusha. So he said, if we only had one pasuk, we would have said it's talking about Telusha. Telusha is where the Torah distinguishes between Chatzi Nezek and Nezek Shalem. The first time Chatzi Nezek, after three times Nezek Shalem. If we attached to the animal, everyone would agree Nezek Shalem. Everyone would agree Nezek Shalem. Why? We have no pasuk that addresses that. So in the absence of a pasuk, what should I have said? Should I have said it's more comparable to a muad, or it's more comparable to a tam, when the animal is holding on to something in its mouth. The only source in the Torah is for some animal is holding something in its mouth. So why do I compare an animal that has horns attached to his head to a muad? I should have compared it to the tam. Meaning, kashuli adraba, ema kua tamahi. In the absence of a pasuk, why did we automatically jump to the most, the greatest obligation? We should have gone to the other extreme, to the least obligation, right? The pasuk, we have one pasuk. The Gemara says that's why we brought two. But when the Gemara was saying and justifying, explaining why we brought two, we said, because if we only have one, I would say the pasuk in the Torah of Kiyigach, which distinguishes between the first time and after three times, between Nezek Shalem and Chatzi Nezek, the first time Chatzi Nezek, only half, the second, after three times Nezek Shalem, is only talking about if it's holding something in its mouth. If it's attached to its head, I would have said that's Nezek Shalem. Why, in the absence of a pasuk, why shouldn't I have said it's always a tam? Even if it gores three times, it's always a tam. Why did I compare it to a muad of telusha, which is what the Torah is talking about, to say if the Torah is talking about telusha, so why do I compare if it's attached to a muad? I should have compared if it's attached to a tam. I have no way of knowing what it's referring to. So I should have gone to the more lenient approach. Why did I take the more stringent view? You understand what I'm saying? That's his question. Decho, and he has a reason why we should have been more lenient. Decho la fuke mimona kula letaveya v'chomer lenitva. Every time you take somebody's money from them, it's true you're being machmir on the mazik. I'm saying being machmir on the, a chumer for one is a kula for the other. You're being machmir to make sure you paid back all of the damages, but you're taking more money away from the mazik. So why did we give favoritism to one litigant, one party here over the other? So the Rashba answers the following, Vishleimar, Da'adaraba, Benizikin, Sveke did hula hachmir ki isurin. Normally the rule is with regards to Dine Mominis, it's actually Gemara Baba Kama later on, Adav Mem Vav Mem Beis. Normally the rule is Hamoitzi mechaveroi olav araya. Anybody know what the source for that halacha is? You want to take my money, you have the burden of proof. Much of the discussion today in America, right? Who has the burden of proof? So you wanna take my money, you have to prove it. You have the burden of proof. Hamoitzi mechaveroi, you want to take something from me, olav araya. You have to bring proof. How do you know such a halacha? Gemara says, it's a svara. You have a problem. You bring the proof. Gemara initially tries to derive it from a pasuk. Gemara says, it's a pashut svara. You want something from me? Prove it. We got that. So over here, we're not sure what should be the din by mechuberes. When the Torah, at least we're living in the world of the Havamina right now, that we only had one pasuk. So I would have said that one pasuk is talking about Telusha. If an animal grabs a sharp object in its mouth, then you only have to pay Chatzin Nezik the first time. Also, after three times it's Nezik Shalem. What about if it has something attached to its head, horns attached to its head, Mechuberes? We don't know. It's not addressed by the Torah. So the says the Rashi, so the Gemara says, oh, we should have said it's Kula Muedesi. The Rashi says, why? Say it's Kula Tamahi. I don't have a reason to say it's Kula Tamahi. You always pay Chatzin Nezik if it's attached to his head, because how much you make Chaber? All of a riot. You have no pasuk. So it could go this way, it could go that way. Suffolk in Dine Mamanos. We usually say, leave it where it is. So you want to take all of the Nezek Shalim from my pocket? Prove that I have to pay Nezek Shalim. In the absence of any proof, I'll pay Chatzin Nezek. It's no worse than Telusha, okay? So I'll pay Chatzin Nezek, but I'll always pay Chatzin Nezek. You wanted to make me pay Nezek Shalim, bring proof. That's the kash of the Rashba. What does the Rashba answer? Yeshloimar, the Adarabba ben Ezekin Sveke Ditula Hachmeke Isurin. Here we're dealing with the Dover Isar. Here we're dealing with the Dover Isar. What does the Rashba mean to say? Here we're dealing with the Dover Isar. Aren't we dealing with the Dover Dine Mamanos as well? So, boys, I believe in order to understand this Rashba, we have to take a step back and ask a fundamental question in all Dine Mamanos, really on that rule of Hamoitzi Mechavero, you want to take something from your friend, Olav Araya. That is a question the Achronim only dealt with. You don't find it in the Rishonim. And that is, why don't we say every time you come to me, you say, that $10 in your wallet is mine. I say, no, it's not. It's mine. So why don't, and then you should respond, 1 minute, to Suffolk here. Suffolk deraisa lechumra. You have a Suffolk gezel in your pocket. Give it to me. And how can I keep it? It's a Suffolk gezel. Why do we say by Suffolk mamon, hamotzi mechaver ovarai, you want to take my money in my pocket, you better bring proof. Why? What happened to the rule? The Isar of Lo Sigzo and Suffolk Daraisa Lechumra. We have a Suffolk Gezel here. Fundamental question in all of monetary issues. You hear the question? This question is addressed by Shimon Shkup, who lived only 100 years ago, spent a year here in Yeshiva in 1928, in his magnum opus called the Shari Yosher, which is really like a swamp of Lomdusha material. Not that easy to navigate, but somewhere in the midst of that thicket of the Shari Yosher, he addresses this question. And he writes the following. Now, Tinan, the Savig Mama Lekula, we say, Amotz Mechaver Ovaraya. You want to pay? You want to take my money? Bring proof. V'roi Levoi, Lamani Gora Iser Gezel, Mishar Isurim. Why is theft different than any other Iser? Ukamo de Kaimu and the Ko Iser Tara Lechumra. Okay, he quotes one possibility. He says the following. He says, because every loisigzo, let's say you take my money because I can't keep it by me because it's loisigzo. Now you might be in violation of loisigzo because if I wasn't obligated to pay it, you are now a thief. So either way, one of us is going to be a thief. So shev al tasa adif. Let's just do nothing. What's the problem with that argument? The problem with that argument is I think I'm right. I think it is stolen. You know, and that money belongs to me. What do I have to be concerned? I have no suffix. So that's what he says. He says, "V'huz al heishav al zed al kapanim yebazeh suffik gezel." Either way, there's suffik gezel. Dim na'akmar la nitva. You're going to take it away from the person who the claim is made against. Yes, suffik gezel biyada teveh. Maybe the one who took it from him is over on lo sigzel. V'chol achroinim hisigu al teretz zed. Everyone disagrees with him. The mabekach. Who cares? Al kapanim kol echad yachush liatzmo. I'm worried about me, the big I. Right? What do I care about this other fellow? I think I'm right, so I'm not. I have no problem. Give me the money. All right. So his answer, I'm going to leave behind. Then he quotes from Yonis and Ibshitz, Ubesefer Urim Vitumen, 1700s. Simchav Hebekitzer Takfu Kain Kasav, he gives a different answer. And he says that it's because Loisigzo only applies where there's no suffix. If there's any measure of suffix, Loisigzo doesn't apply. Loisigzo, there's no such thing as suffix Loisigzo. That's very interesting. You could say that. But the Reb Shimon Shkab says, we don't have a source for that. You know, it would be nice if we had a Gemara like that. He says, we can make that kind of stuff up, but, you know. He says, Kikach ha'imitzv v'alav shalo sigzo ha'inu gezel vadai. Only if it's certain gezel. Gezel safek im hu biyadcha ein kan iser gezel. Safek gezel is not gezel. Dekach halocha nemra, that is how the halacha was stated. Ha'moitzim e'chavera o'av haraya. I have it, I can keep it, and there's no suffik iser. Kilo asra Torah gezel b'kai gavna v'al tanai zenemar. This is when, you know, on the condition the iser of gezel was said, it's only if there's no suffik. Ukomodo lo asra Torah mamzer suffik, umaiser suffik v'chadome. The pasuk says, mamzer is not allowed to enter into Kal Hashem, only a mamzer vadai, not a mamzer suffik. If you don't know about whether the person is a mamzer, then there's no iser to marry him. So it's over here. Unless I know with certainty that it's stolen, there's no iser gezel. So if you look at Shimon Shkab, right after Ad Kam Lashono, he writes, V'gav dvarav ha-kadoishim enim istabram be'enai. This also is not satisfactory. D'rei kohecha shematzinu b'shas eza chidish lahaka b'sveikos. Wherever we have these halakos, which he brings, you know, fair cases with that, that is true. Suffik mamzer's mutter. Gilu lanu al zeh mekormen ha-Torah. Yeah, a slight problem. We have a mocker for that in the Chumash. The mamzer, darshu miyasura mamzer vadeh velo sufik. There's an extra mamzer in the pasuk to teach me. Mamzer vadeh velo mamzer sufik. Ahal vadeh velo sufik. Umayser asiri vadeh velo asiri sufik. The tenth animal, only if it's the absolute, not if there's a sufik. And he says, "V'savik gezel lo nizka b'gemara l'ram izlanu shu eza chiddush halach l'maishim isinai eza gilu milsa." If anything is just the opposite, he says, "How do we know I'm going to make chaver of araya?" He says, "Uvehein b'chamer b'gemara mem vavam abeis dal inyan zed the kaimel I'm going to make chaver of araya ain't sarich kro the svarahu." So the whole thing is a svara. How can you tell me it's exeris hakosav it's halach l'maishim isinai gezel doesn't apply if there's any kind of suffik? And that's why, where there's a machlekes, who the money belongs to, we say, you know, how much may chaver b'raya, because it's not like halacha. The Gemara says, no, that's a svara. The Isur of Gezel applies like all other Isurim in the Torah. Safik d'raya l'chumra. So we're back to where we started. Why is it, then, that every time there's a machlekes about money, we don't say safik d'raya l'chumra and you got to pay? Why do we say, how much may chaver b'raya? And don't tell me that's a halacha l'maisha misina, he says. That's a svara. The Gemara says, it's just, you know, like, it's obvious. Fine. So we're left. But if you look, 60% of the way down. The first word on the line is Matsinu Chiyuv Lotzeis. So there's a period in that line, and he quotes him a Kuntras Hasvekos. The Kuntras Hasvekos is the brother of the Ksais HaChayshin, who helped him publish the Ksais HaChayshin. So in the back of the Ksais HaChayshin, sometimes it's published the Kuntras Hasvekos. And now it's been published as a separate sefer. Probably like 10 volumes of footnotes and everything, but the whole thing is just like this one. Avahetiv asher kazav azeh b'sefer kuntras hasvekos klal alaf simun vav. There's the real answer. Avalo bir kol ha'inyan karoi, he doesn't explain it well, dezeh l'shoyin hasham, and then Reb Shimon Shkab is going to explain. He says, the real answer is because we don't start in Dinei Mamonos with the Iser and the Torah of Lo Sigzo, we start with who does the money belong to in Dine Mamonos. That's how Los Sigzo is formulated. It's formulated after we've resolved who the money belongs to. Now, if you don't give it to that party, to the rightful party, now you're over on Los Sigzo. But Los Sigzo does not address who does the money belong to. That's not what Los Sigzo is addressing. So he writes like this. The Zero Chana Samvirali, the Peruka the Haimel Zakahu, this is the real answer. Shaloi Asra Torah Sagezel Amash Ahusha Chavero Mitzaradin. Los Sigzo only applies to that which belongs to your friend Mitzaradin. Of Amash Ahusha Loi Mitzaradin, Lo Asar de Lavatar, that which belongs to you is yours. Hilkach Safik Mamon Shadin Bo Hamotzime Chavero of Haraya, therefore we say Hamotzime Chavero of Haraya. And he thinks that's what the Urim Batuma meant. But look at Rav Shimon Shkop. After Ad Kama Shono, Rav Shimon Shkop adds, which is a critical addition, which you need in order to understand what the Kuntres HaSfekas is really saying. Ubir inyan zehu laniyaz daiti. Abi hakdama klolis. Something which is really a basic introduction. The kol dinei hamishpatim shal dinei mamonos bein ish l'rayehu. All interpersonal monetary disputes. Einam kederech kol mitzvahs ha-Torah. They are not adjudicated based on the rules of Safek d'oraisa l'chumrah. With regards to shatnez and tzitzis, you know, those are just religious principles. So chiyuv kiyumam aleinu hu ha'ikar l'kayim mitzvahs Hashem. There, the primary responsibility is fulfill the ratzon Hashem. Uvedinei mamonos eino kein. Interpersonal monetary issues, that is not the standard. Dekodem shechal aleinu mitzvahs Hashem l'shalim ala Hashem. Before we can discuss the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to pay or to return, we first have to figure out, adjudicate the matter down here. The is of gezel only applies to that which the Torah awards you, or that which, you know, is yours. It's only if we've determined it's yours. Okay, and also withholding wages is only based on what, you know, is owed to you. So first, we have to adjudicate the matter in terms of dinei mamonos and mishpatim, who does the money belong to? Then we can apply lo sigzo. But lo sigzo does not enter into the discussion, the equation, in the initial stages of figuring out who does the money belong to. That's adjudicated based on other principles, and namely the principle of hamotzi mechavero, out of haraya. So one second, getting back, yeah.
What if you don't know, what if it's actually suffering?
Who does the money belong to?
Yeah, what
have you asked? You want to say it's yours? Bring proof. And until such time, it's a suffix in Dine Mamonos, which has its own rules. Then you want to figure out, once we determine who it belongs to, we can discuss a suffix gezel. You know. But if it's a machlok, it says who owes who money, that's not where Los Sigzo applies. Los Sigzo applies only in the second stage of that discussion once we've determined who it belongs to. But getting back over here, one second. What did the Rajba tell us about Mechuberes? We're not sure if he's supposed to pay always Chatzi Nezek or always Nezek Sholem. That's why we needed a second Pasuk to tell us. No, there also there's a distinction. Tom, first time Chatzi Nezek, after three times Nezek Sholem. Without the second Pasuk, we don't know what to do with Mechuberes. See, where it says, Eim Akulam Uedesi. Say you always pay Nezek Shalom. The Rajma said, why don't we say we always pay Chatzi Nezek? The Rajma said, no, over here we're dealing with the Safek Iser. So we say, Safek D'oraisa L'chumra, you always pay Nezek Shalom. But Gavalt, we never say Safek D'oraisa L'chumra when it comes to Dine Mamonos. Safek D'oraisa L'chumra only enters into the discussion after we've adjudicated the matter, you know, in civil court. Who does the money belong to? Then we can get involved in the religious principles of Los Sigzo. And say so. How can he apply over here the Isa, you know, Savik Daraisa Lechumra with regards to Mechuberes and paying Nezek Shalem in the initial stages of the discussion to figure out whether you pay Chatzin Nezek or Nezek Shalem? The Rajma says, well, Savik Daraisa Lechumra, that's why you always pay Nezek Shalem. That only enters into discussion later. So Rebarach Ber explains over here in Baba Kama Simon Beis, something based on something, an explanation which is based on something we've already said. And that is, with regards to Nezikin, it's not just that if you damage your friend, you have to pay. It's usur to damage him. And he suggests that when an animal gores for the first time, the isur that's involved is less than when an animal gores multiple times. Therefore, you have to pay more when it gores multiple times as opposed to when it gores the first time. He says, "V'nira degam nezikin de mamono, de b'shar avos nezikin gam kein lo rak le'inin chiyu bidei adam, nemra parasha." This is not just that you have to pay money. "D'chai b'dashum d'aydei shmiras n'arechal gam d'yesh b'chal ha'parasha de maitse de mamono, d'shmiras n'alav chashuv gam mazik v'nein hash bidei shamayim." We search for a source for this. Perhaps it's derived from Losigzo, or perhaps it's just implied from the fact that you have to pay. But either way, it's usher to damage your friend. And presumably, the Iser is more when it is a Muad as opposed to when it's a Tam. That's why you have to pay more. Yeah.
It's like going to Rapapa, who was Mamona, having this with Mamona. And not like.
It might be related to that, yeah. Yeah, correct. I'm getting ahead of us, but yes. So therefore, writes of Baruch Ber, on the second to last line over here, Ois Gimel, Vazehu Biur Divrei HaRajba. That's what the Rajba meant to say. Here, see, normally, dine mamonos, if I borrow money, I have to pay back. There's no iser involved. Obviously, if I don't pay back, I'm over in losigzo, but it's a civil matter primarily, and then it has ramifications for losigzo. Here, Rabbarach Be'er is explaining, that's what the Rajva is telling us. When it regards to damaging a friend, it's not just a monetary issue in its initial stages. And then we can, you know, discuss losigzo. Here, even in its initial stages, it's a religious principle because you're not allowed to damage your friend. So we're not applying something to arise in the chum of losigzo. We're applying something to arise in the chum of the iser of nezikin. It's also to damage your friend. As a result of that, you'll have to pay in Ezek Sholem. That's true. But fundamentally, this is a religious principle. It's not like if Shimon Shkub told us with regards to all other monetary issues, you know, do you have to pay this amount in the Ksuba, that amount in the Ksuba? That's a civil issue, how much you have to pay. And if you withhold the money, you're in Losigzo. So we don't say something that writes to the Chumah, you have to pay more because of a Suffolk Gazelle. First, you adjudicate the matter civilly, then we can discuss religiously. Here, damaging is not a civil issue, it's a religious issue. In its initial stages. So therefore, when the Gemara said, Ema, Kula Muedesi, the Gemara was saying, because of the Iser of Nezikin, you have to, it should always be considered a Muad, because the Iser involved in a Muad that does damage is greater than the Iser that's involved in a Tam that does damage. Because you should have watched it to a greater degree. And therefore the Iser is greater, therefore the liability is greater. So that's why the Gemara said, Ema kulu muedesi, because we're not just dealing with a monetary issue here. We are dealing with a religious principle as well. Yeah? That's what the Rashi was telling us. We're going to have to pick up next time. We're going to see there's a Rashi that says pumfaker, just the opposite. So I have to figure that out. But that's really going to lead us into the other discussion, the broader discussion with regards to this entire sugya of Ema kulu muedesi. They told us in Ezekiel. Okay. Let's say something quick on that.